The thing that made my podcast popular, like, I'm still trying to get like better at saying that. The episode that increased my listenership, and that's when I saw a huge change, was when I did my mental health episode. And I almost didn't do it.
Sound familiar? That's Annabelle DeSisto opening up about how being vulnerable time and time again made her podcast such a success. Annabelle is the host of comedy podcast Adderall and Compliments. She's been featured in Forbes, has millions of downloads, and is now a career podcaster. She's been producing episodes for more than 4 years and was an original member of the Dear Media Network. While her podcast focuses on rehashing shows on Bravo and the E! Network, she also openly discusses mental health issues and the importance of getting help. On this week's episode, she reveals that she had her microphone for a year before she overcame her fears and recorded her first episode. She explains how growing a community on Facebook led to the growth of her podcast, and shares the roles Chrissy Teigen and Joan Rivers actively played in her journey. Hello, and welcome to another episode. If you're new to the show, my name is Christine O'Donnell, and I was a TV news reporter and journalist who worked in top markets across the country before diving into the podcasting world. I use my news reporting experience to help podcasters find their story, to podcast with integrity, and to craft episodes in an impactful way. Each week, I interview successful podcasters, journalists, and industry insiders about how they found success by stepping in front of the mic. This week, we have Annabelle DeSisto. She used to write for Joan Rivers on Fashion Police and now gives her uncensored opinion on everything Bravo, pop culture, dating, sex, candid stories, life advice, and more. But before we dive into this week's episode, I want to take a moment and share that I respect and stand by the peaceful protesters who want their voices to be heard. I believe using your voice and speaking up is one of the most important things that you can do. And I want to encourage people who are scared to use their voice, especially when it comes to issues around race, to respectfully speak up. The more we dialogue, the more we share, the more we learn from each other and can come together. I feel torn apart by the injustice that happened to George Floyd and the injustices that have happened to so many people of color over the years. I've covered many of these losses during my time as a reporter and covered the protests. I look at my son, he's just 2 years old, and I fall apart, knowing that George Floyd was someone else's son, and unfortunately, he was not given the same respect, rights, or treatment as my son would have, and that breaks my heart. I've shared some resources for people who are looking to learn more and to actively participate in making a positive change on my website. There will be a link in the show notes. Now, without further ado, let's hopefully share in some laughs and learn about how embracing our vulnerabilities can help us be better stewards of our voices as podcasters. Here's my conversation with comedian Annabelle DeSisto. Annabelle and I took a hosting class together out here in Los Angeles a few years ago, and it was kind of a crazy class, but I just remember you were so authentic and open and just boldly yourself. And I think you carry that into your podcast. And in my opinion, that's one of the reasons I feel people are so attracted to you. But I also feel that that is something that so many people are scared to be, is to own who they really are, especially once they're in front of a microphone. So how did you come up with this idea and make that transition?
Oh, well, that is, first of all, that is very, very kind of you to say, and that means a lot to me, especially coming from you. And I'm like, and you actually like went to class. I mean, if I had gone to like even half the classes that I had signed up for and paid for, but it's like, there's a very different time of like before I was medicated and after I was medicated. And that really made a difference in how many classes I went to. But anyway, I had been on my friend's podcast, Stassi Schroeder, who's on Vanderpump Rules. She had a very popular podcast. She has a very popular podcast. And I was friends with Rachel O'Brien. We did stand up together, and she also had a podcast. So they had podcasts before I started. And Stassi was kind enough to invite me on hers. And I was a guest on hers. And it was the first podcast I ever did. And then I got, you know, two nice messages from people like saying that they liked it. And I was like, oh my God, I have a following. Like, so many people loved it. So I was on Stassi's a few times, and then people are like, you should, like, why don't you have a podcast? Because all my friends did. And so I bought the equipment, and it was a year before I used it. I was terrified. I got the equipment and I tried for 3 hours and I didn't even get to my name. I was like, hi kittens. This is horrible. I can't do this. And there, I literally threw it off the couch and was like, I can't do this. I like had a meltdown. And so a year later, my mom, the stage mother that she is, it was actually when I was visiting Aiken. She was like, okay, we're going to podcast. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. And she's like, no, I'm making you podcast. I don't care if you only put out one episode, but you're recording this episode right now. And I'm terrified of my mother. And we are out in the woods and the cabin. And as great as a reporter as you are, you would have never found my body. Like, we are deep in the woods. So I was just like, I had no choice. And even on my first episode, we did it all about Southern Charm. Cause like my mom was like my co-host, and during it, I was like, so anyway, since no one is going to listen to this, mom, this is basically, we could have just talked to on the phone because no one is going to hear this. No one's going to listen to this, but okay, we'll keep going. And then it's like, I put it out and people are like, no, it was really fun. You should do it. And so then it just kind of became a goal for me with my depression. It was something to do every week. It was something that I was like responsible for and had to do. And it was also a way for me to see someone every week. Honestly, it was like, I did it as a holding me accountable for going out and like seeing one of my friends. Cause I did it with my friends, like starting out. And a lot of it was like for my mental health. So it was started just out of my deepest depression. And then it just continued. And I was like, oh, I love getting to see my friends and hanging out because I'm such a hermit and I'm just always in my apartment. And it's like a real problem for me. And so that just became what it was of like every week. I'm like, oh, I get to go have fun with my friend and talk. And I really never thought about people listening. I was like, oh, like there's probably 5 people listening and they're my friends. And we started this like Facebook community. And I was really lucky that I built a, like my kittens, like the little group, I started a Facebook group, and that helped my podcast so much because it was so personal. And I, you know, was on there every day and talking to them every day. And so like, I built like friendships, like online, like friendships and following. And that really helped because it felt like kind of a little sorority almost. And I am just a horrible actress, as I have learned from being in LA and never being cast in anything. So I realized I could not act like anything else. And it was just one of the things, I think probably the biggest thing for podcasting that I would recommend for people is do not podcast thinking of what people will like. Like, okay, I'm going to do, like, I'm going to talk about this because I think, you know, people will like this, or I'm going to say this, like, and change your personality, hoping that the masses will like, you know, playing to the masses of like what you think people will like the most. And it's like, say what you think is funny or talk about what you think is interesting, like whatever you want your podcast to be, because there is somebody out there who's just like you who will find it interesting or who will find it funny, or, you know, so there is a tribe out there for you. And like being your authentic self, you will find people who really connect with you and who if they really like you and they vibe with you and they get what you're saying, then it builds like a friendship and a bond. And that's how your podcast like grows and grows, because people find somebody that they relate to, or, you know, or that they're learning from, whatever their thing is. But yeah, just being your authentic self, because eventually when you're talking, if you're trying to pretend to be something, you're going to slip up, because you're just, I mean, after talking for an hour, you know, if you like Jekyll and Hyde it, where people are like, why is she being different? Or, you know, sorry, I don't know if that's making sense or not.
No. So what I'm hearing from you, and I think that this is really interesting, because I do think that depending on the kind of podcast you're producing, it is really important to think about the way you can serve your audience, like the value you can give them, the how you can educate them, or how you can, you know, just you're talking to them or you're talking with them, like you're having a conversation. And I think it's important to want to provide value to any conversation that you have, whether if it's with your friends or with an audience or with your kittens. But what I think you're saying is, and I could be wrong, is that it's important to not pretend to be who you think people want you to be. You should just be yourself, because that's who you are and that's how people will respond to you. And I think that that is super scary for people. And because we want to present this really polished version of ourselves when we step in front of a microphone or in front of a camera. And speaking as someone who presented a very polished version of herself for a really long time as a TV news reporter, I know that it's really uncomfortable for me when I start to share a little too much information about this or get really real, or even as we started this podcast talking about like me and what I did as a reporter, I was like, oh, this is uncomfortable. Oh, this is uncomfortable. But I personally am trying to get more comfortable with that, because I think authenticity is really important to connecting with an audience. But I also think providing a public service and being objective and having integrity with everything you say is also really important. So it's trying to find that balance, at least for me. That's where I find myself, trying to find a balance where I'm serving people, but I'm still being myself. And I also think that journalism is important when it comes to being open and objective and sharing like sourced information and content to an audience, so they know where it's coming from and not just like a fact I made up.
Exactly. I mean, you explained what I was trying to say way better and much more well spoken. But also, and you can cut this out, so I would mark down if you can see the time, just in case you have to cut this out.
I'm making a note.
Okay. So I just, cause I hate it when somebody, if I record and somebody's like, can you take that out? And I was like, no, that means I have to listen to myself the entire podcast to find it. I'm just going to say, I don't know what your audience is. I'm going to say, listen, think about how like Alex Jones and Fox News and everyone go on there and say completely insane things that are not based. Like Alex Jones has like one of the most popular platforms, who thinks that frogs turn people gay. Like he's like, you don't have to be like, so it's just, there is a following for everyone, you know? And it's like, I completely agree, you bringing like substance to your audience and wanting to serve them. Also, it's like, you're serving them by entertaining them. You know, like they're tuning in to you and to listen to you. So you're already providing like a service. Your service is you being open and talking with them. And the thing that made my podcast like popular, like I'm still trying to get like better at saying that, because I'm just like, I have a huge problem with like being too self-deprecating, where I still am like my tens of listeners. So I feel like we were saying like when my podcast got popular, but the episode that increased my listenership, and that's when I saw a huge change, was when I did my mental health episode. And I almost didn't do it, I decided to do it because I saw Chrissy Teigen on the cover of Glamour, and she was talking about her mental health and her depression. And I was like, okay, well, if Chrissy Teigen has depression and can talk about it, and she has like what we imagine is the perfect life, and I'm like, okay, then I can talk about it because I'm just talking about it with my friend and whoever, you know, like my little group of listening. And I cannot believe the response that I got. And the mental health episode where I opened up about, you know, my manic depression and then going and being tested at this clinic and doing brain scans for 3 days. And then, you know, them giving me my diagnosis of like, you know, depression and like bipolar, and talking about that, but making it in a fun way. Cause it was like ridiculous. I went to this, you know, clinic, and when the guy was giving me my diagnosis, he started doing like Family Guy characters. Like he started doing like voice impersonations. And I was like, oh my God, I'm even crazier than I thought, because now I'm hearing voices in my head and I'm hearing Stewie, the baby from Family Guy, tell me my diet. I'm like, this can't be real. And then when I realized this doctor of science who is supposed to be in charge of giving me medication is doing a voiceover audition in front of me, I was like, okay, this is insane. Like,
so he was like doing a bit while.
Yeah, he was doing a bit as he's like, giggity. So, your brain scan giggity, like doing. And it's something that would be, you know, sad for people or scary or, you know, seeing your brain scans. And I always say like my brain scans are like the best headshots I've ever taken, because they looked like Lisa Frank pictures. Like my brain was so lit up. It was like so bright. So seeing that helped me so much, like my brain scans and like talking about it, and it helped me feel normal. It helped me feel normal realizing like it's not me being lazy or it's not me feeling bad for myself. It's just a genetic, you know, it's in my brain, is in my body. Just like if you had diabetes or cancer, you know, whatever, it's like in your body, it's part of your brain and it's like not a choice. And that helped me so much. And just talking about it, and so many people wrote to me of like, oh my God, I feel the exact same way. I'm too afraid to talk about it. Like, thankfully now mental health is being talked about way more and way more accepted. But 4 years ago, it was not as talked about as it is now. And so it was like kind of like a secret thing, and it was something I was really ashamed of. And that was probably like my biggest like secret and like shame. And so coming out about it and just being like completely honest, that is what built my following the most. And that's like what I get the most messages about.
So I haven't listened to that episode. I've got to go find it. Do you mind sharing what your diagnosis is?
Oh, sure. I have bipolar and my dad's side, he's manic depressive, and on my mom's side, she's bipolar, and her sister committed suicide. Like I wasn't going into this world with like a full genetic deck, like mentally, like I was not coming in regular, and also severe anxiety.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, wow. And I had resisted being on medication for so long because I just felt in my head, I was like, that was me being a failure. And being on medication, I was like, oh no, that means I've like completely lost it. Like that means I'm crazy. And I had no problem being on Adderall because I've been on Adderall since like college, community college, not to brag, but I did go to Tallahassee Community College for 14 months. So it's a pretty big deal. And it's like, I had no problem being on Adderall, but the thought of being on antidepressants, I was like, oh my God, no, 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 I will never do that. And then I got so low where I didn't leave my apartment literally for 3 months. So like I stayed in my bed. The only people I saw were like my Postmates drivers. And one day I had the same Postmate driver twice. And he's like, oh, you're having a party? And I was like, yeah, it's a big, big party. Big. That's why I bought 2 bags worth of Cheesecake Factory. Big party with all my friends. Okay, gotta go, bye. Like, that's all I saw. And my parents got to the point where parents always obviously worry about their children. But when my parents saw me and they were so worried about me and seeing the look on their face, and they're like, if you don't get help, you can't live in LA anymore. Like, you either have to come home or get help because you can't live like this anymore. And so going and getting on medication completely changed my life and saved my life. And I just feel like after, and so many people, if I should be sponsored by anybody, because I think, you know, my podcast is sponsored or whatever, I'm like, why aren't I sponsored by Big Pharma? I've gotten so many people on medication. I feel like one of those pharmaceutical reps. Like, not, I'm not saying like I'm the hot girl, but you know, when you see those hot girls with suitcases going into doctor's offices and that's like them peddling meds, it's like so many of my kittens have said, like, because of you, I've gotten on medication. Because just like normalizing it and making it, you know, that I'm not like girl interrupted, like in a white straight jacket rocking back and forth. And then like, I'm on this pill, where it's like saying, oh yeah, I'm on, you know, I'm on Wellbutrin and Lamotrigine and it's normal and it's fine. Then so many people are like, I'm on medication, but I've been too ashamed to like talk about it. And it's like this weird secret shame that so many of us have. And then when somebody opens up and talks about it, they're like, you feel less alone. You're like, oh my God, I have it. Like, I have it too. And you realize how normal it is and just how I was drowning for so long. And I just think of like, I was just drowning and like medication was just like this, you know, like life raft that they kept trying to throw me. And I'm like, nope, I'm just going to continue drowning over here. I don't need this. And then finally getting a hold of it. I'm sorry, I realize this is like a very long answer. But just how much it saved my life. And that is probably, that's the thing I'm most proud of with the podcast, is how many people have come out about their mental health and how much it's helped them. And also how many friendships have started because of the podcast. I always say, I'm like, I wish I was a listener of the podcast because I would have had way more friends. Like they connected in like groups where they would have like, they have like kitten get togethers and it's almost like a little like sorority or book club. Like when I did live shows, she's now become like a very good friend of mine. Her name is Catherine and she was a listener in Ireland. And I had like a live show and she came all the way from Ireland to the show. And she came to 4 live shows, like from Ireland, and people would like travel and they've met, like made like best friends. And like somebody is like what's like the number one bridesmaid. I've never been a bridesmaid, which I guess.
Oh, maid of honor.
Yes. Like nobody has been that, loose with their wedding that they're like, yeah, we'll put Annabelle in charge. So yeah, like they've been in each other's weddings and it's like the bonds that have come from the podcast and the group and just people, you know, with their mental health, like have written, you know, about like how suicidal they felt and then listening. And it just, it's amazing. And you'll see like when you get like messages and stuff, just how much you connect with people and you don't really think about that, but whatever, think about the podcast that you listen to and how like connected you are to those people. Cause it's like really intimate podcasting. It's like intimate in a different way than like you can watch somebody on YouTube or watching TV, but it's like podcasts, like you're in their ears.
Yeah.
And it's a deeper bond and you feel like connected with them and you feel like that, you know, they're in your room talking to you and it's like a really intimate bond. So I think that's the thing that I am most proud of. And then just having everything open, I'm like, oh, I have, you know, I don't really think about you know, when I do, when I try to start dating, that there's, you know, all these like episodes of me, you know, talking about, you know, how terrible it was losing my virginity and just all these other.
Wow. Well, it takes so much, it takes a lot of guts to talk about those sorts of things publicly. And I think a lot of people are fearful of that. And it's interesting that you're talking about these vulnerable episodes and these vulnerable things that you went through. I actually just tweeted before we got on the call, when you're vulnerable, people fall in love with you, because I was listening to a podcaster talk about his own issues with depression and going through cancer treatment, named Hal Rod from The Miracle Morning. I don't know if you've heard of it, but I think that it's really wonderful that your podcast started as a way to help you treat yourself, and you weren't really thinking about all of these other things that I think so many people are thinking about today, like how do I serve my audience and how do I grow my following and how do I do A and B and C. You were just kind of putting yourself through therapy with your friends.
Exactly. It started out, it was basically recorded. It was basically like brunch that just happened to be being recorded. Like there was no set topic. It was just us talking like friends, just how you would, you know, going out when, like, before you meet your friend, you don't text them. It's like, okay, so we're going to talk about like what I wore last week. What was my weird dream? You know, like who you're talking to on Bumble. And then we're going to transition into this. You just go and hang out with your friend. And since that's what I was, that's what I used it to do. That's how it started. And people felt like, oh, that they're just hanging out with me and my friends. And that's how it became like really, really intimate, where I'd say my podcast is like jazz, because a lot of people don't like it. Like a lot of people are like, oh, that's just weird noise and I don't get it. And it has no, you know, set thing and rhythm. It's just all over the place. But the people who like jazz, like really, really love it. So like I have a very niche, like people either like love my podcast or they hate it. Like I have very few like reviews between 5 and 1. Like it's very, I always say I'm like, it's very polarizing, or like my case is very bipolarizing. Like it's just,
do you
love it or hate it?
Do you look at your reviews? Do you?
Yes. And that is another thing that I will say, whatever you have, whatever you're recording and you're self-conscious about it, because I don't think there will ever be a podcast that I'm not like self-conscious about. Like there are very few where I'm like, this is amazing. This is killer. And the ones that I really hated were the ones that I got nice feedback on. And the ones I was like, I think this one's great. I was like, oh, excuse me. Hello. Maybe I have a filter sent on my computer, cause it's weird. I'm not getting messages about it. That's odd. Put it out anyway.
Yeah.
Like, whatever you record, put it out, just put it out. Because if you're waiting for like a perfect recording that you are so happy with and that you felt like you didn't stumble over or whatever, like you're never going to put out anything. And when somebody leaves you a bad review, which will happen, it's like Yelp. Like there's very few like, you know, medium Yelp reviews, you know, yeah. Like 1 or 5. You have to remember that even on YouTube, if you go to like a video of like baby monkeys playing, there will still be like 13 thumbs down. And you're like, how do you not like this? You know, yeah. Like on the cutest like elephant video, like 50 thumbs down. And you're like, how is it possible that people don't like this? And I'm not nearly as cute as a baby elephant. So I'm like, there are always going to be people who don't like what you're doing. And that is in podcasting or work or clothing or anything. And think about people who are like, you know, who are like, I hate TV. And you're like, how can you hate TV? Like, how do you, you know, that doesn't make sense. And I don't understand those people. So it's like, there are always going to be people who aren't into what you're doing, and you just have to not let the people who don't like what you're doing change how you feel about what you're doing.
Yeah. Let your fear take over your potential, I guess, or take control of your potential.
Because when I get bad reviews, I used to really freak out, and they would really upset me, and I would cry. Mm-hmm. And I realized the people who are writing these things and who would like private message me or like troll me, like a year ago, it got really bad. Like a year ago, it was like the deepest depression I had, and I was getting like a lot of stuff online, and I really, really lost it. And then I thought, like, the people who are writing these things to me and who are writing this about my podcast and me and whatever, I'm like, are these ever people that I would go to for advice or go to hang out with, or that I would want, you know, I would want their advice or help on something? And it's like, no. So why am I letting this person who I don't, you know, respect enough about their, you know, opinion of helping me, like, why am I letting them take over how I think of myself and how I think of my podcast when I have so many positive people?
Yeah.
You know, and I just have to remember of like, it's not about you, you know, it's not about your podcast personally or you. It's like, you know, like, you don't see things as they are, you see things as you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's like, you cannot let people who don't like what you're doing stop you from doing it, because they'll leave a bad review and then their life goes on. But you'll remember that bad review and, you know, have that dictate what you do, like going forward and in your head. And when I was really focusing on that, and I was putting out podcasts just thinking of the bad reviews and like podcasting, but like, okay, I'll talk about this and I won't say this. Like, those were my worst podcasts because I wasn't being myself. I was thinking too much in my head of what these negative people would think about my podcast. I'm like, they're not even listening to my podcast. Why am I changing it for people? And it's just, people are going to realize, like, people connect with you being authentic, where with you're just trying to be like, I'm not saying you were, but like kind of the Instagram model version of podcasting, where you're like, I want to present this perfect, you know, gather sign and, you know, the, you know, cursive script and everything's pink. And like, I have set flowers, you know, and here's me on the beach and you see my skinny legs and like a drink, you know, just like the typical, you know, Instagram model things, where it's like, that isn't real. And we all know it's not real. And it's like annoying to see. You're like, ugh, like, you normally never people aren't Instagramming themselves like crying in like sweatpants with period stains on them, you know, as they scroll through their like ex-boyfriend's Instagram. Like, it's very, like, you don't really see that. So it's like, that is real. And
that is very real.
That's what people like connect with, because the people who are listening to the podcast are going through the same stuff you are and who want to know about the same stuff that you're talking about or that you're interested in. So it's like, they really connect with that.
Yeah.
Because like, it's very rare that you're going to connect with somebody who is perfectly eloquent and like they're teaching a class. But I think with comedy or whatever podcast genre you do, you being yourself is the best, because there will be people who like you, I promise. There will be people who understand you.
Yeah, I agree. And I think so many people have that same fear that people aren't going to like them. They're not going to like what they have to say or their opinions or when they're really honest about stuff.
With podcasting, it is easier than doing it in front of people, because you're just talking either to the person in front of you or if you're doing a solo one. So like, you're not having to look at people's faces. Like, well, doing stand-up was hard, because you're saying, like, as I say something, I'm getting the immediate response. Like, I'm getting like people not liking it or people laughing. But or whatever you're podcasting about, make it something that you're interested in. Because if you're interested in it, other people will be interested in it. And if like, if you're having fun recording, like my favorite podcasts are the ones that I was like laughing the most in and that I was having fun. Because you can tell when you listen to something if the host is having fun, yeah, or if they're, you know, if they're into what they're saying or if they believe what they're saying.
And I agree with you, because I find myself when the host is laughing of a podcast I'm listening to, I'm like also like laughing.
Yeah, because it feels genuine and it feels like you're just hanging out with them.
Well, I have a couple questions, because you do have some street cred here that we've like talked over. You used to write for Joan Rivers for Fashion Police. So yes, you have a comedic background. You're a writer. You are talented in entertaining people. How did you figure this out about yourself?
I was severely bullied in middle school. And I feel like when you're severely bullied in middle school or at any time in your life, that builds personality. Because you're just like sadness and like damage, like builds up your personality and like sense of humor. And I had no plans on doing stand-up ever. I moved to LA and didn't know anyone. And I thought I was going to work in radio, but I moved to LA knowing no one. And I saw a thing on Twitter about an all-female comedy class. And I was like, that seems like a non-creepy way to meet girls. And so I signed up literally just to meet girls. I got into stand-up the same reason every man gets into stand-up, because all they want to do is like meet girls and hook up with them. And that's what I did. Although I didn't want to hook up with them, I'm like, I'm just here to meet girls.
Yeah, make friends.
So it was a thing where it was a class of 5 weeks and we'd write jokes, even though like, I was like, I've never done this before. I'm not a comedian. But every week we wrote jokes based on ourselves. Like it would be a prompt of like, okay, what's like a horrible date story, or what are your five biggest fears? What is this? And so it was like all based on us and it was all really personal. And so all of our jokes were from our life, or, you know, based on something. It wasn't like, so airplane food, you know, like, are you guys on Facebook? What's the deal with, you know, like, people poking you, you know, when they used to have that poke feature. I'm old. Like on Facebook, they used to have like that weird.
Is poking still a thing?
It was just something like weird. And it was just all based on us. And at the end, we were supposed to do like a 5-minute stand-up set. And I was like, oh no, I'm just going to meet the girls and be friends with them and then like not do the show, because that sounds terrifying. And then when I realized I had to do the show, I was like praying for a car accident on the way there. Like not a serious car accident, not a car accident that you would have covered, Christine, like just a fender bender that would have prevented, like just long enough, like exchanging insurance information that I would have missed the show. And unfortunately that did not happen. Unfortunately I ended up there and I did my set and I was not nearly as horrible as I thought I was. And also when you see men do stand up going to open mics or seeing men do stand up who think that they are amazing, like every day I pray that I have the confidence of a white mediocre man, because no one is more confident than a white basic man. And seeing them and the complete confidence that they have at something they're really not good at, where so many of the girls in my class were way better than them. And we were like, oh, we're terrible. Oh, I don't want to do this. It's like that. It's and just how much like we hit ourselves and how we like really downplayed it and thought we were horrible. And then seeing these men go up and have full on, like, just the most, like, that they were Dave Chappelle and just being horrible. And I was like, oh, I can do this. I'm not nearly as bad as them. And so I just kept doing that because I wasn't getting auditions. And it was the only way that I could perform, because no one tells you no. Like, anyone can do stand up. It's like, unfortunately, it's like buying a gun in this country. They let anyone do it. Like literally, like if you want to do stand up, you can. Like there should be qualifications of like, you should not be on stage saying these things. But it's a very free thing. You pay your $10, whatever, to do an open mic and they let you on stage. So like that was the only way I was allowed to perform. And then I just kept doing that. And I got I was in a comedy festival, and a producer from Chelsea Lately was in the audience, and he came up to me after and gave me his card. And that was like when Chelsea Handler was like the biggest thing, and like everyone was watching her and stuff in her show. And so that got me a meeting at E, and I went in and I told them, like, I doubt I am qualified for any position that you have, but I feel like you owe me a job based on how much of my life I have dedicated to your channel. Like, who knows? I could have cured cancer. We don't know. We don't know what I could have done in that time because I dedicated this to your channel. So I deserve a job. That's literally what I told them. I was like, so I'm not leaving here without a job. And so she's like, okay, well, I was like meaning more like an on-camera job. Like that's kind of what, like what I meant. I was not planning on like writing. She's like, okay, well, why don't you try writing for fashion, please? I was like, oh no, I'm not like a comedy writer. Like that's, I don't have like writing pack or anything. And she's like, no, you'll write an episode and we probably won't hire you, but you'll get paid for this episode. And I was like, okay, but I've like only written Facebook statuses. Like, remember like when Facebook statuses were important and like people would read them and like you were trying to be witty.
I do remember.
And so I was like, okay, so I got lucky that my first episode, my trial episode was the Met Ball.
Wow.
And so it's like, if I could have started off on any week, that was the best possible week to do it. And so I had to write, they would send you pictures. It wasn't like a writer's room. So we were never in a writer's room. We did it all, especially, and this was great because I was starting another depression cycle. So it was like, I get to do it without any pants on and not having a bra, not having to put my boobs in booby jail. Like, this is great. So they would send like 15 pictures and you had to write 20 jokes for each picture. And then you would send it in and they would send back, okay, now we need like five jokes on Rihanna's purse or like specific things. And so I sent it in and just assuming of like, okay, I'm not going to hear any of my jokes. They're not going to hire me, but I get paid for this one thing. And I had just been broken up with that morning and I was broken up with by this comedian who actually helped me with my packet and with my writing thing. When I say helped, he actually told me half my jokes were horrible. And he was like, you need to delete this joke. It's horrible. And I was like, well, I think it's good. You know, I have to submit something. He's like, it's terrible. I was like, okay, but all right, I'll not send that in. And I ended up sending it in. And then he broke up, like he had broken up with me like that morning. And the opening joke of the show was the joke he said was horrible and that I should delete. And so I didn't expect any of my jokes to get on. And I was also sobbing while I was watching it. I was sobbing into my Taco Bell because I was about to watch a show that I'm like, none of my stuff's going to get on. I was just broken up with. I'm not going to get this job. And then it opens up with my joke, like Joan Rivers saying it. Like Joan Rivers, like one of my idols. Like I saw her in concert like twice, like an icon. Saying my joke, and I was eating Taco Bell, and I just went to my friend, and I was like, I'm so happy. And so I was like crying during the whole thing, and I got 5 jokes on, and I got to write for her for 7 months or 8 months until she passed away. And it was so incredible, and it was such a good exercise. And thinking back now, none of those jokes would get on air now, like in the new climate, like, but, it was just so incredible and something that I could have never imagined happening. And so like all of my stuff that's been the most successful, I never imagined like happening.
Yeah. It sounds like you have just shared so much of yourself with the world. Like you've just continued to be vulnerable and vulnerable and vulnerable and put yourself out there, even when people who are jerks and break up with you, tell you something isn't good, you submitted it anyway because you believed in it. And that has to be so hard to do that, just to continue to be so brave. Like, I feel like that, it's so scary to like be so open and authentically you all of the time. And you've created a career now just doing that over and over and over again. And it's helped you treat yourself. And that's just so powerful. That's amazing.
That means like so much to me. Like, cause I don't think of it like that. Like when I get like really like down, and that's, I'm just going to replay this part and have it on loop. I'm just going to use you as like just my affirmations, just like all day. But it's like, it's very liberating, and whatever you have to say is important and will be special to someone. And most importantly, it's special to you. Mm-hmm. And like, you have one life to do that, you know?
Yeah.
If you're a Buddhist, you have many lives, but like in this one, you know, it's, what is the worst that can happen by putting yourself like out there? It,
yeah,
you know, it is going to help somebody. It's, if anything, it just like helps you get something out. Like it helps you express, you know, it is like liberating, and it's like a release.
From personal experience, I have censored myself and edited myself and cut out parts where I've been really vulnerable in front of the microphone and the camera, because it's really scary to go there and to be brave enough to do it consistently for 4 years is amazing. So keep going and keep being an inspiration to others so that we can try to, you know, own our full power as women and not feel so uncomfortable and maybe, you know, be as confident as a basic white male.
Exactly. That is all I hope for every day, of just, they're so confident about things that they are less than mediocre at, like that they are not good at, and just the sure, like the full confidence they have in everything. Mm-hmm. Where we as women don't have confidence, nearly the amount of confidence in like any, in most areas where like we should, and we like shrink ourselves and, you know, really like dull our light of something that we're so amazing at because we feel uncomfortable saying like, I'm good at this, or, you know, and hiding that, where men are like, I'm the best, I'm amazing. You know, they just are, they're like, of course everyone wants to hear what I have to say. Who wouldn't want to hear that? Like, I'm the smartest, I'm the funniest, I'm the best at this, I'm the most knowledgeable, like, I know the most about grilling, or, you know, like, whatever their thing is.
Yeah, it's a good point.
It's just like, mine is definitely, like, a weirder podcast. It's like, it can be, like, from mental health to then talking about, you know, like, Aaron Carter.
Well, the podcasting world is still very much, I think, the wild, wild west. Like, there's a lot of new things that are coming out, new ways people are monetizing. So do you feel a key to your growth has been being on other podcasts? Or do you think
I will say that's, I mean, I got my platform, or I got an audience that I would have never reached before, like, if it wasn't for Stassi. Mm. Like, she was kind enough to have me as a guest on there like multiple times, and I'm not even in like contact with her. I haven't like seen her in a few years, but like I will always credit her as like the start of my podcasting, because it was the first podcast I was ever on, and that is how I was able to reach, and because hers has, you know, like probably hundreds of thousands of downloads like each episode.
Yeah. And
I would have never, ever been able to reach that many people if it weren't for her. And then since I started out when podcasts were not what they are now, mm-hmm. And my like community, that really helped, because it was a very, like a little cult sorority. Like, it's like a very, like, a little like group of people. And then that really helped because it like built friendships and it grew out. But that's what really helped at the beginning, was really like connecting with like the kittens and like talking with them. And I was like, the Facebook really helped a lot. I know that's like different now, but really like really paying attention to who was listening.
Do you still have a Facebook group now that you are active in?
Oh, yes. It's called, we had to change the name because it used to be Adderall and Compliments. Mm-hmm. And there would be like 10 requests a day of people thinking we sold Adderall, even though in the thing it was like, when it requested to join, it was like, this group is not about Adderall. We do not sell it. This group is not about Adderall. And it would be like, why do you want to join this group? And it was like, because I want to buy Adderall. Like so many people would write that. I'm like, I didn't know if they thought it was like a secret, like test. So we had to change it to, A and C kittens.
Got it.
The Facebook group. And it's super supportive and amazing, and I'm so proud of it. Like one girl found out she had a brain tumor because of it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like there has been so many connections through it and help, and like people have written like when they're really like suicidal like level, and like they'll reach out and connect, and they have each other's numbers and like through breakups and everything. And then one girl is like writing about her symptoms. It's nice because it's almost kind of like WebMD, but like not as scary, because like people write it because like there are lawyers and doctors, and like there's a ton of, you know, it's like a job. There's tons of job people in there. And so whatever it is, whether it's like a relationship thing or health thing or beauty thing, it's like somebody's either done it or dated it or had it or does it. Like it's pretty, so normally you'll get like a few responses with whatever it is. And this girl was like, I keep having this and this and this. One of them was like, I'm a doctor and it sounds, what they're telling you isn't right. I would go in and ask for this specific test. And she wrote next day, I'm like, thanks at Lauren. I found out I had a brain tumor because I like ordered this test. And so she, so I'm basically a surgeon who saves lives is what I'm saying. I'm basically a brain surgeon.
You've created a community where people feel comfortable opening up to each other, and it is saving lives.
Yeah, it is very, the things that people write in there are so, so intimate, like the most intimate things about like their mental health or their marriage or anything. And I also have it that if somebody wants to ask a question or do a post and they want to be like anonymous, because it still is the internet and people can still, you know,
find you,
take pictures and, you know. Like one person did that a few years ago and I really freaked out because like it was such an, I just felt like it's such a sacred thing. And I know that sounds crazy. I know I sound like I'm being weird about Facebook group, but it's just since that's what really helped me. That's like my baby. And so I got so upset that somebody would like violate that. So now it's like, if anyone wants to write anything like super intimate that they don't want their name attached to, they can message me and I'll post it for them and I'll do like an anonymous post. So that way it still gets out, but people feel protected and safe. But there's like only one rule in it. It's just like, you know, cause a lot of Facebooks are like, don't promote your business and don't promote this. And don't, and I'm like, listen, girls, get debt coin, whatever you're selling, whatever your business is, do it. Like I'm very like pro, like, get out, like post your thing, post your business, whatever it is. It, like when people write, like, I want to start a podcast. I'm like, absolutely do it. Start a podcast. And a few years ago, one of my kittens was like, I'm thinking of starting a podcast with my friend. I'm like, oh, you should absolutely do it. And then it became like one of the number one podcasts on iTunes.
What is it?
And it's actually kind of in a weird place right now in the news. It's Call Her Daddy.
Call Her Daddy?
Now it's like in the, there's things going contract wise that are now really, but it's like, was like trending on Twitter and I'm like, there's my friend. Like, it's just, everyone should start a podcast. If you want to do it, then you should absolutely, to me, there is no downside. It's like, if you don't like it, then you don't have to, you know, it's not selling an organ. It's like, putting something out there that you created that you like. And if you don't like, and if you decide it's not for you, okay, then you just like take it down or you stop it. It's not like a lifelong commitment, but yeah. If you like it, it can turn into something really incredible of something that like I never in a million years, like I didn't even want to do the first episode. And then the first year was just like to make myself get out of my apartment and go see somebody. And I never thought it would end up in like live shows or being a job ever. Like that just all came from me being myself and talking about what I wanted to talk about, which is like 90s and aughts, like pop culture, and like how JC was really the star of NSYNC and he was robbed. like things I'm very passionate about, like that. Mm-hmm. Like that's just, you should absolutely do it. And if you're ever afraid of sharing too much, there is somebody out there who is very thankful of what you're sharing.
Yeah.
It's like, if it's vulnerable to you, people connect with it. And there's, even if it's not the exact same story, people are like, oh, she's sharing this, or I have this emotion about this, or, you know, you just talking about it is really cathartic for, you know,
yeah,
other people. And so it's like, listen, as long as you're not doing like some crazy, like alt-right negative, like some super like crazy podcast, I'm like, yes, absolutely do it. Say whatever you want. Like, because it's just, you have no idea what can come from it.
Yeah. You could save lives.
Yeah. It really is. If it's interesting to you, if it's making you laugh, if whatever, there is somebody out there who will connect with it.
Well, something that I love about your podcast, and I feel like you've expressed this several times through just our interview together today, is I feel like you're such an advocate for women. And I really like that you are a part of a network, Dear Media, that's really trying to focus on female-driven content. So I'd love to know more about how that happened for you, how you got connected with Dear Media, and what that has done for your podcast.
Lauren Everts and Michael Bostick, who are the creators of Dear Media.
Yes.
And they are, I'm pretty sure they're aliens. They are like a real life Barbie and Ken. Like when you see them, it's like, they're like Madame Tussauds wax figures, like walking around, like you can't believe they're real people, let alone like a couple. And she messaged me on Instagram and was like, hey, do you want to be a guest on our show? And they had just started their podcast. Like they had just started their podcast in their kitchen. And so I podcasted with them really early. I think that they had just joined their network. I think that they were at Podcast One, I think. And so I went, and they were in a studio at that time. Lauren had been very, very popular and successful before her podcast. Like she had a book and you know, a huge blog following. And so she was already established like when they started doing this. And I was lucky enough to be one of like their early guests, and they were just so great and supportive. And Michael is actually the reason I used to sell a lot of merch. Like I made more money selling merch than I did like before writing, before like comedy writing, I did like extra work. And then after like Joan passed, I did like more extra work, and I made more money selling merch than I'd ever made doing any of that. And Michael's actually the reason, because I was like really obsessed with crystals, and like at the end of our podcast or whatever, and I was walking out, and he was like, why don't you sell crystals like to your listeners? Because I said that they're always asking like, what crystals should I buy? Or what? And like, and a lot of people, especially who live in what I call comb over states, like don't have like new age stores everywhere. Like in LA, there's like a new age store on like every corner. And I didn't want to tell like them, oh, go to this website or go to this website and have them be like ripped off, because I don't know about any of those. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, he's like, why don't you just sell your own crystals if they ask you about it? And I was like, oh, okay. So I like made three like bags, and I thought like, hey, maybe I'll sell these by the end of the year. And then I got like 50 orders that day, like when I put it out, and I was like, call my mom, like, I can't believe I got 50 orders. And she's like, do you have 50 kits? And I was like, no, I have 3 because I didn't expect to sell any. But it's like, he inspired me to start doing like merch that I would have never done before if it wasn't for his inspiration. And so that was after my podcast with them, and we like stayed in touch, and I had them come online, and they're like, yeah, you know, one day we want to have a network. And I was like, oh, absolutely. Cause you know, I'm like, they could absolutely pull that off, because they're unlike everyone in LA when they say like, I want to do something, you're like, that'll be great. And you know, it's never going to happen. Like, but they're so determined with whatever they do. And they're so exact and have a plan and have, you know, the drive and like vision that they can see it like before it's made, like whether it's like, you know, their podcast or their network. And so when they made it, they like called me and they're like, we like made Dear Media and we want you to be on, you know, on it. So I was, when they created the network, I was like one of the 5 podcasts that they like started out with. And so I was like so honored, because I had no idea how I was going to get on a network or if I was ever going to be on a network. And I'm so lucky that I got to be with people who I really respected and trusted and looked up to. And the fact that they are such supporters of women, and it was going to be a female based like network to celebrate that and to focus on like women of all different types of, you know, different categories and different interests. And it wasn't just going to be like bloggers or, you know, like fitness or anything, you know, it was going to be like varied. And I was just so lucky to be a part of like their brilliance. Like I was so, so lucky. Like I am, yeah. So lucky.
Yeah. So when you did join the network, and it's so something, just to back up, something I love so much about this industry is the creativity and the ingenuity in people. Like people today are connecting that will create something together within the next couple of years that's going to be huge. And because the podcasting industry is still a new space compared to so many other mediums out there. And so it's so exciting when people can come together and create and build with each other. And it sounds that like that's what happened with you guys. And now I'm going to pull up my notes, because I wrote this down specifically for this interview, because I just am so amazed by this. So on April 30th, the Hollywood Reporter published an article about Dear Media, saying that they've raised $8 million in funding to create and launch more female-focused shows, as well as building the brands of current shows, which, what? These are your friends.
I couldn't believe it. Like when my friend sent me the picture of like the Hollywood Reporter, like I thought she had like Photoshopped it or something, because she knew I was having like a down day. And I was like, oh, thanks, Jacqueline. That's really sweet. Like one day I will get in the Hollywood Reporter. I thought she was kind of doing like a, you know, texting me kind of a vision board thing. And I was like, oh, that's really sweet. And then when I realized it was real, I like couldn't believe it. Like the fact that they were also featured in Forbes like this time last year, and that I was like mentioned in it. And I was like, my dream was only just, I just plan on marrying some guy who had been featured in Forbes. Like I never thought like I'd be in it. So when I saw that, I was just so insanely proud of them, because they are people who are growing every day. Like Lauren, if you watch any of her Instagram stories, like Lauren does more in her morning routine than I will do in the entire day. Like in her, if I didn't like WW, like, what would Lauren do? My life would be probably completely different. But her strategies and Michael's strategies and how they go about their business and like their day and like what I've learned from them and like what you learn from them on their podcast, like they just are continually like going to like the next step. Like they're never like, they never like just settle or be like, okay, like this is good. Like it is always like progressing, and they're always doing a new like Medium or like TikTok when they brought that. I was like, yeah, that Kesha song was great. Like that TikTok song, I like it. And they're like, no, TikTok, it's a, you know, new thing of social media. I was like, what? I don't know what the youths of America are playing. I don't get it. But it's like, they are so like innovative, and I'm just so honored to be like a part of this network that is like blowing up and representing so many amazing people. And like that they just signed like Deborah Messing and like Allie Webb, the creator of Dry Bar, which I want to go into the studio and been like, I could have health insurance, but instead I've gone to Dry Bar, you know. So Allie, just so you know, if I need a kidney, I'm going to contact you, because what I could have spent on health insurance or just like a retirement fund or anything, I have spent getting my hair blown out. But just
those are my best days, by the way.
Blowout days, like I live for them. I like my worst fear, like I mean, when I was actually like living a life before like my last manic cycle, I was like, all I want to do is not have to touch my own hair. Like that's all I want. That's like the level of success I wanted to get to. I'm like, I just don't want to have to touch my own hair. Like I hate it. And then that's how low I've gotten in quarantine. I have washed my hair more in quarantine than I did all of last, like my last manic depression cycle started like this time last year. I washed my hair more in quarantine than I did all of last summer. Like when people are like, what's the longest you've ever gone without washing your hair?
Me?
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know. Maybe 3 or 4 days.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But
I thought you were going to say weeks. I was like, we're the same. Okay. 3 or 4 days. That is, wow. That is way less than I assumed it would be.
So I feel like I'm someone who needs to wash their hair. Otherwise, so I have this curly hair, right? If I don't wash it, it'll clump together and just be like a big mat. So I have to wash it. Also, I just really love showers. That's my like time to escape everyone.
Oh my God. I love showers. I definitely think I, you know, contribute to the drought problem in LA, but I'm like, I'm a vegetarian. And since I really don't go anywhere, I'm not driving and, you know, adding to the like gas emissions. So I'm like, I feel like it all evens out. But yeah, that is one thing that has saved me. Like my therapist was like, whenever you're feeling like low, I want you to go into the shower, because like water, like scientifically, like changes your body chemistry and your blood, like it like absolutely changes. So it's like some days I would take like 3 showers a day. Like, and because showers always make you feel better, like no matter how low you are. And also I love that you always win shower arguments, like with yourself, you know, when you're like replaying fights that you've had, like that you could have said, and then you always win in the shower, like shower arguments, like always go your way. And then it's like, when you get out, however, like the rest of your life is going, like for that time you're in the shower, it was like a release.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I did shower a lot. I don't like when I say that I did not wash my hair for weeks. I do not mean I did not bathe, like shower myself. Yeah. But I have very long hair, and I had gotten very spoiled in that I just had blowouts, and I would just go from blowout to, I would have my hair up. And also like, I don't work out. I don't go outside. So I felt like it was just like, you know, my apartment air, mm-hmm. and like my mm-hmm. pillow, like it wasn't going anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got into like my like depression phase, it got worse. But even like before, I would go like 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. And then in the depression time, I think I went like 8 weeks maybe, where when I took it, because I wasn't even taking my hair out, I just like would have it in a bun. And when I took my scrunchie out, my hair stayed in the same shape of it. Just did not, it looked like I was wearing a wig. It like did not move. And I was like, hi, this is,
I guess all right, I need to watch this.
This is a new level. And I had also ordered Duncan Hines chocolate frosting and ate it like soup. And I was like, we've reached a new level of, all right, this isn't new space we're in. See, but I talked about that and people were like, I haven't washed my, like, cause people were like, it's so gross. And I like, am ashamed to tell anyone. And I'm like, everyone is gross. Like,
yeah.
Like whenever you talk about anything that you're like hiding or whatever, like somebody else is like hiding that.
So something that I think is interesting about podcasting is that people really like this long form chit chat. People like feeling like they're part of a conversation. They like real conversations about what's going on. And I think that there's a number of really valuable takeaways that we've talked about when it comes to your journey. And I think a huge one is just the power of owning your story and being really vulnerable, and how that can really connect with people and really change people's lives. Like, you've changed millions of people's lives through your podcast, which is insane, because that's not why you started it. You started it for yourself.
Yeah.
And then it like helped heal you, and now you're healing others, which is magical.
Oh my God, I love talking with you, because I'm just like, yeah, because like that's how like in my head I like never feel. So it's like when you say that, it's like a nice like reminder of like, oh, yeah, that like so that is very, very kind of you. I'm just gonna replay. I'm going to give it to my editor. And then I'm like, all right, I want you to edit out all the parts where I'm talking. I just want a loop of all of her audio so that I can play that. But it's just like, you are helping so many people. Well, you're severely helping me right now, and you're helping my family, because I'm going to be in a way better mood. So you've just already reached like two people here, but it's like, you're helping people. Like, you're entertaining people. Like, you're giving them, like, when people listen, like, to you, Christine, like, you are giving them entertainment, and you're giving them a real, like, a break from their normal day and kind of, like, escapism. Is escapism a word?
It yes.
Sounds word-ish.
It is word.
Okay. It sounds word adjacent.
It's a word.
They're letting you into their life. Like.
Yeah. People listen to podcasts in the weirdest places.
It's just like, it is like you are with them. I was saying, like, I call like the kittens like my like friends in my head, because that's like what they are. Cause like you're listening to them like in your
head.
And so it's just, it's such an intimate thing. And so you're helping people, like when they listen to you, like you're entertaining them. You're helping, like they actually learn from you. Like I will say, like, one thing during the podcast, I'm like, that was our reading rainbow shooting star moment. The more you know. So like, I was trying to give them a Snapple cap type thing to go away with, where at least we learned one thing from it. But it's like, yours is much more like educational. And it's like each thing is, but it's like, you are helping, like every person who listens to you, you are helping.
Well, I hope so. And I think that you are doing, I mean, the same. Is there any last things that you want people to know? Is there a place you'd like people to come find you?
Oh, yes. They can go to iTunes and go to Adderall and Compliments, or you can find it on Spotify. And the Facebook group is really, really great and fun and supportive. And I like that there's all different time zones. So whenever you go on there, like there's always someone on there to talk to. Like, and it's like, I would not be on Facebook if it wasn't for this group. Like, so that's the only, I don't even go on like regular Facebook. So it's not like, you know, you're like racist grandma. Like when you're like, why are you posting that? Or like weird kid I went to high school with who has severe opinions. Like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm glad that you have the answer to the problem of this, and you're putting it in very offensive words. So it's not like regular Facebook. It's all like fun people, and it's really nice. And the only rule is, if it ain't cute, put it on mute.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. I'm like, post whatever you want, like promote yourself, whatever. I'm like, just everyone be nice. So the Facebook group is A and C, like A and then ampersand C, kittens. And then my Instagram is just Annabelle DeSisto.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being a part of the show.
Thank you. I want to thank you. You've been my like entertainment for the week. So you've been my hostage for the week. So I thank you. This was really more for me. I don't know if it did anything for you. This really helped me though. So I appreciate it.
Thank you guys for listening. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. You can also find this podcast on Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and more. If you would like to email me directly, feel free to reach out at podcastcoachchristine@gmail.com. And of course, you can head to my website, christine-o'donnell.com, for frequently asked questions, the latest on what's going on in the industry, and I look forward to seeing you over there.